And I had to comment, this is stirring thoughts in me, thinking more and more about Prince. The juxtaposition of that theme, sensuality and the infinite, and God. It's what we're getting more and more clear about. The more we let the thoughts of these great spirits marinate in us, and the more we sit with them, float in them, get soaked in them. but properly understood, this principle we are learning from Prince could be called the sensuous ever after. That's the title of a song from the Rainbow Children. Continuing with Kudan, all men believe in God. But in believing in God, in what does it believe? In a word, what is God? The nature of this notion of divinity, this primitive universal notion born in the race, the human mind has not yet fathomed. At each step we take in our investigation of nature and of causes, the idea of God is extended and exalted. The farther science advances, the more God seems to grow and broaden. And my comment, what we are told is science, I believe, is in fact its perversion. And that in the people's lexicon, our notion of it will necessarily be of a piece with Proudhon's and Hugo's and Fromm's and Nikola Tesla's. Quote from Nikola, every living thing is an engine geared to the wheel work of the universe, though seemingly affected only by its immediate surrounding. The sphere of external influence extends to infinite distance. There is no constellation or nebula, no sun or planet in all the depths of limitless space, no passing wanderer of the starry heavens that does not exercise some control over its destiny. Not in the vague and delusive sense of astrology, but in the rigid and positive meaning of physical science. More than this can be said. There is no thing endowed with life, from man who is enslaving the elements to the numblest creature in all this world, that does not sway in its turn. Whatever action is born from force, though it be infinitesimal, the cosmic balance is upset and universal motion results. Deep words from Nikola Tesla. For class, as resources available for maintaining the social relations of class dwindle, strategy becomes infinitely more important. For us, we the people, rapidly diminishing resources as the earth is raped to famine and in need of us, and we make all wealth out of her. Endgame time for us means it is our minds that, of the resources power appropriates, we must make continuously diminishing to them for their use, not for our own use. And from power's view, their strategy of trying to supplant the infinite, supplant its role in us, that is, we, again, the panopticon, we turn to it for our instructions, as opposed to each other in our bodies and the earth and the ancestors, and love. Their intention, power guys, is to pretend to be the source of all information and of our creativity. In endgame times, this becomes more finely focused on those it most needs to maintain its supremacy, those who create, operate, and manage its technology of control. Which means we gotta not let them continuously divide us against each other with that tactic, but join hands, work together, support each other in that one day global strike. And it's gonna be a challenge hanging on to love. There is no doubt, because that their tactic has been very successful to create divisions within us so that we look at some subset of us as the problem, as opposed to just getting our bodies back. We're going to continuously think about that distinction, continuing with Marcuse, to the degree to which organized labor operates in defense of the status quo, and to the degree to which the share of labor in the material process of production declines, intellectual skills and capabilities become social and political factors. Today, the organized refusal to cooperate of the scientists, mathematicians, technicians, industrial psychologists, and public opinion pollsters may well accomplish what a strike, even a large-scale strike, can no longer accomplish, but once accomplished, namely, the beginning of the reversal, the preparation of the ground for political action. That the idea appears utterly unrealistic does not reduce the political responsibility involved in the position and function of the intellectual in contemporary industrial society. The intellectual refusal may find support in another catalyst, the instinctual refusal among the youth in protest. It is their lives which are at stake, and if not their lives, their mental health and their capacity to function as unmutilated humans. Their protest will continue because it is a biological necessity, unquote from Eros and Civilization. And there again, we have Herbert Marcuse putting his finger on the problem of they have claimed our bodies. We have to take our bodies back. That's what he means by this biological necessity. Why has the left done nothing with this analysis? Well, we know. It's called, I don't want to say co-optation, that's too simplistic a way of putting it. It's they're being very organized, they're having a plan, they're accumulating resources to accumulate it, they're recognizing that the coerced work system is in fact fascism, because once you can command what people do by commanding where resources are allocated through the financial system and the allocation of credit, done. You can control who has a job and what jobs they have. So Herbert Marcuse, if he finds himself, and they have Nicholas Weapon, is obviously, you know, where I was also going. If he finds himself beyond the reach of their mechanisms, their financial means of controlling, or their economic means of controlling who speaks, as he clearly was, because he had achieved that level of eminence, non-conforming actors must be removed. If you can't remove them by economic means, remove them extra-economically, extra-legally. You murder them. And it would not surprise me at all if he met that fate. But neither here nor there. We got that problem, we gotta deal with it. And because of Prince, we have to ask, and because of Proudhon, and the fact that Herbert Marcuse, though he had put his finger on the problem, and a solution that Prince also, that's what I meant to develop in this section and did not yet. In The Rainbow Children, Prince has a similar analysis to Marcuse's in focusing on those who operate the digital garden. And his strategy, you gotta dismantle it. That confirmation from two great spirits, or that concurrence between two great, huge advocates for freedom suggests the soundness of that analysis. And I don't think there is any, what's the right word? Contradiction between dismantling the system and a one-day global general strike. They're obviously very much compatible and necessarily so. they have to go together. We have to figure out perhaps I need to figure out a better way to merge those two points into language that is less clumsy. And my question, therefore, though, given how much we need Prince, is the intellectual refusal possible without his or her possession of the infinite as the source of his or her self-definition? And another just occurred to me, given Herbert Marcuse's focus on biological necessity and how that dovetails with Nikola Tesla and Proudhon saying that the more science grows authentically in terms of its investigations of energy, nature, the more does our understanding of the infinite, the bigger we grow in playing with it. So let's think about those interconnections as well.